Hey everybody, it's Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavel. Before we get started on this week's podcast, I'd like to honor a very special personal friend and former family member to McKinney Flavel. Last week, we lost a legend in the food space, and that's Mr. Paul Kortenkamp. Paul was a great friend of many of us in the food industry, and we'll miss him greatly. And many of us are still in shock and can't believe the news. I thought to myself, what would Paul say to us now? Well, he would tell us to live our lives each day and live in the present moment. Paul rarely let things bother him, and he was always kind and always reached out to those in need. Paul had a passion for sailing, and thankfully he realized one of his dreams and spent almost 2 years sailing around the world with his wife and his two daughters. What a blast. So, what has Paul taught us? Live life today, live with passion, kindness, empathy, and don't sweat the small stuff. I miss you, Paul, until we meet again. See you later, my friend. McKinney Flavel's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavel, and today is October 2nd. Oh my God, it's October already, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by someone that is just awesome, and that's Eric Thornton. What do we call you nowadays? Commodity specialist?
Commodity specialist. Yeah, I think that's what you gave me as a title, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you know, I mean, title is a title, but just great to have you on the team. And I'm looking forward to today. You have some really cool ideas today, right?
I do, actually. Yeah. So, you know, we're now a couple weeks into the NFL football season. And we obviously have a WASI report coming out next Friday. But I thought maybe we could have a little fun with today's podcast and come up with a football theme. What do you think about that, Mike?
Ooh, I love it. I love it because, as you know, this is my first year doing a fantasy football league, so I'm ready to go. I think I'm prepared, and I will do my best not to have any soccer references for you today.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah, well, let's get right into it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to call ourselves today the McKinney Flavel Falcons football team, Mike, and we're going to be preparing to play a game, and we're going to set this game for Q4 2020. So like you said, we're in October. Okay. It's October 2nd.
Okay.
We're in the last quarter in the home stretch of 2020. It's been a crazy year, but we're now going to be challenged, and we're going up against the Commodity Cavaliers.
Oh my God.
So here we go, Mike. Commodity Cavaliers coming at us, and they're a talented team. Very volatile. Challenging to predict. Some of the players, you know, that we're monitoring, at least for this podcast here, is going to be corn sweetener, sugar, and cocoa.
Oh,
so we've had to bring in our A team of players to battle these guys and attempt to beat and come out on top of these Commodity Cavaliers.
They're so unpredictable. Oh my God.
They are wild, especially this year, right? So, you know, between you, me, and Kevin Combs, Craig Ruffalo, Nicole Thomas, you know, we're well equipped with our set of knowledge and skills to win this matchup and please our fans, because we do have fans out there, Mike, and our fans are our wonderful clients and procurement organizations out there in the food and beverage industry. So, you know, these folks are also known as hedgers, but on the Commodity Cavaliers side, they also have a fan base, and we're going to consider this fan base the speculators.
Oh, man, so, those guys.
You know, these fan bases don't really like each other, but, you know, ultimately they do need each other to offer some liquidity. So, you know, maybe for this football game, liquidity can equal beer drinking or something fun.
I like that.
So, you know, I've got the scouting port right here in front of me, Mike, on these team members that we've identified. Yeah. So, you know, let's get together a game plan for our keys to victory and let's kick this thing off. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Sweet. So we'll start with Korn. And Korn is at the quarterback position right now and obviously can have a lot of other influence on the other players on the team, such as in soybean and wheat in the grain space. But, you know, Korn's been an absolute bull lately after some very weak and we'll call it pedestrian performances on the field, you know, dating back to March when we were going through COVID and had a lot of big hits on demand and ethanol. So we had, you know, some really poor performances on the play of Korn in the quarterback position. But, you know, they've definitely come back with a vengeance here and recently have been able to change their ways. So they've changed their habits in early August by the way of a derecho coaching staff and a personal trainer by the name of China. This has really pumped up Korn's confidence, Mike, I got to say, because, you know, in addition to these two influencers here being the derecho coaching staff, China on the trainer side, you know, the speculator fan base has really come into play too behind Korn and has started to cover some short positions. So, you know, over the last 8 weeks, we've seen this impressive rally in Korn and they've become a whole new player because prior to the derecho coaching staff coming on board in August 10th, you know, we were talking about 3 billion bushels in ending stocks, stocks to use ratio somewhere around 20%, you know, record yields, what could go wrong. But obviously, you know, Korn took some stance to that, and we now have seen some reductions in yield coming back down to a 178.5 bushels per acre number. We saw acreage take a hit from the derecho coaching staff there, 500,000 acres coming off the balance sheet. So now Korn has really changed and has been playing pretty strong, and we're now down to a lower stocks to use ratio near 16% and 15%. But even just this week, Mike, Korn has received some further help from the referees.
Yes.
And the referees, you know, at times can make some very questionable calls out there. And the referee in this case is the USDA. And we saw them throw a flag Wednesday, Mike, on that quarterly stocks report. And boy, was it questionable. I didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody saw it coming, but they essentially dramatically reduced the ending stocks in Korn, largely citing a mistake in the June figures.
Wait a minute. I'm going to throw the red flag out. Can we look at that? Can we review that play, Eric?
I want to review that play.
Man, I think we got to get some review and get to the get under the hood there to check that one out, Mike. So, you know, what thoughts have you had on the review process there and trying to figure out, you know, what their thoughts might have been?
Well, you know, I'm going to defer to you on this one because I can't even see the camera. I can't even see the camera on that one.
Well, let me take that for you. I got the iPad too next to me, and we'll scroll through this in a little bit.
But, make sure you know, slow motion, slow motion. Make sure you do slow motion.
Slow motion. Yes, here we go. So the knee was down, two hands on the ball, but they essentially had 250 million bushels that they removed in this report. So that caught the market by surprise, and we rallied a good 18 cents on Wednesday when we saw those figures. But this, you know, typically is a surprise, and again, a big question mark on that call. I think the referees threw back our red challenge flag because essentially that's where we're going to be at for Korn, and we're seeing another reduction on the balance sheet. But, you know, typically for a report that doesn't have many major adjustments, this one was certainly a shock. And, you know, over the last 10 years, the next largest adjustment from June to September was just a merely 11,000 bushels. So it just kind of goes to the sentiment of the shock in this report. You know, because of this, Korn's been doing some trash talking here and, you know, to our fan base and, you know, obviously folks that have been trying to survey this market and were ready to take coverage before the derecho and China being involved and some spec liquidation. You know, we're probably advising for those that haven't taken coverage to this point and are open in Q1 of next year to kind of have a little bit of patience and let this kind of settle out, and hopefully, you know, some harvest pressure will get at Korn and we can get them sacked down into the 360s or so before we start looking at coverage.
TV timeout.
So definitely, you know, we need to kind of keep a close eye because Korn's definitely taken a more bullish approach here over the last 8 weeks, but certainly nothing our team of analysts can't handle and help our fans out there with.
Wonderful. What else do we got? Who else is out there?
Yeah, so right behind Korn, Mike, at running back is Korn Sweetener. So, you know, I think actually you may have a couple insights on this player, you know, what's going on with Sweetener lately and what can our fans watch out for?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a running back. So we'll start with this. It's very unpredictable every year because last year – You know, you could say, depending upon what type of running back it was, whether it was a 42-55 or a corn syrup quarterback, and how much capacity utilization for each of those products. So it really just depends. You start with what type of quarterback it is. I would say that this quarterback is heating up pretty good for next year. Expectations. So I would say I'm going to pay a lot of attention to that quarterback. I'm going to pay attention to what type of quarterback is and really determine its strength or weakness. Because if I'm a 42 quarterback, you know, that ankle sprain I read in the report is there. And in fact, 55 has a little bit of an ankle sprain as well. And you know what? The corn syrup running back type, he just, you know, one of a kind. He doesn't have, there's not a lot of options for that guy. So it really just starts with that. And I'm going to be looking at talking to McKinney Favell about how each of those are going to play out over the next month or so.
Definitely. Mike, you mentioned the corn syrup running back, and you know, one of the things that oddly that running back has been doing for quite a while is drinking these hard seltzers.
Oh my God.
That has really been supporting his performance and volume in the industry. Is that not accurate?
That is very true. I did give him a little bit of a hard time because normally I would say you need to drink beer and not a seltzer if you're a football player, but... But I won't even touch that. I mean, they are good, but, you know, I don't know if he's drinking them in front of the team. But, yeah, he's been drinking a lot of them.
Man, so volumes are very much increasing because of that phenomenon there. So questionable call, at least as to, you know, performance on the field, but it's certainly working out for that running back.
Absolutely. Well, time's going to tell. And again, it all starts with where you're starting at, as if you're a user, is what price you're starting at, or in this case, what college you went to. So if you went to Washington State University, boy, I tell you, you're probably in pretty good shape. But if you went to, oh yeah, I'm going to say it, UW, the Huskies, you're way overpriced.
Nice. Sweet. Well, thanks for the insights on the sweetener running back market there. And you know, I think maybe we can kind of go and switch over to sugar a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the scouting report there on sugar, you know, not a whole lot right now, but certainly, man, sugar about 2 months ago was really picking up some steam and they were playing well. You know, much of the firepower out there at this point for sugar, I think, is kind of exhausted. And being that, you know, the beet industry is somewhat around 85% sold. And I think we're seeing the cane side of the running back there somewhere around 70-75% sold. So, you know, have you been able to get any insights on the sugar player and, you know, what kind of pricing is going on right now in the Midwest there for beet and other areas around the country?
Well, definitely this, that the stock has gone up. Boy, I'm going to riff on this one. The stock has definitely gone up over the last couple months, and its worth is certainly higher. It's almost reminding me, and I know Josh Allen is a quarterback and not a running back, but I tell you, you look at Josh Allen's stock is much higher. So I'd say the same for sugar. And I would say in some cases, they're on the sideline and the bench, and they're not even wanting to play. They're not even wanting to play or get out there. So I'd say
that's a good point, Mike.
Yeah, they don't even want to play. They're saying, I'm fine. I've got my yards that I need. My fantasy numbers are great, and Mike's happy, so I'm going to sit on the sideline. So that's how I'd give a good recap on sugar.
Sweet. Sweet. Love it.
Oh, wow. We're all over the place with puns and everything.
All right, let's get to our last player here quickly before it gets too out of control. But the, you know, the last guy we're kind of taking our peek at here is Coco, and they are just a fascinating wide receiver out there on the edge. So they can be, man, really, really hot or really cold at times with just an extreme amount of volatility on the field. And, you know, I think we're getting you know, this player here and starting to get some more information over the next 5 to 6 weeks, being that we're now in the main crop season for Coco. And we're already kind of seeing some speculation that potentially this main crop could be under a little bit of stress due to some dry conditions experienced over the summer and potentially having a little bit of reduction in crop output. But we'll keep our eye on that. And, You know, we are in a La Nina weather pattern globally, which oddly enough is favorable for cocoa generally, but it's sort of gone against those normal conditions, and they've been, again, abnormally dry in certain parts of West Africa. So the other thing cocoa really likes from a wide receiver standpoint is Halloween.
Yeah.
We're getting close to Halloween here, but oddly enough, Halloween is going to probably be a little bit different this year with COVID and trick-or-treating being under some scrutiny here of parents maybe not allowing their kids to trick-or-treat if it's allowable. And I know there's some cities and regions that are having some stances, but overall, you know, sentiment from the market analyst perspective is we probably are going to see some lower demand this year for Halloween, which is kind of continuing over from weak grind figures we saw in Q2 from COVID. So, you know, we're seeing some of those lingering effects, and we're probably going to see some pressure there, maybe on cocoa butter prices if we don't sell and have some high numbers for Halloween sales, which if you're a powder buyer, you know, that's going to kind of bump you up on powder here over the next few months. But you know, the commodity cavalier fans too, those speculators, they just love cocoa. Again, they just want
to buy it
all the time. But, you know, again, you know, oddly enough, they've been displeased recently with the play on the field from cocoa. So they've started to actually, you know, cause a ruckus and have started selling and putting some pressure on that bean market. But, you know, the last couple of weeks we've come down somewhere around 250, 300 points and approaching, you know, the mid 2400 range, which is a good spot to be in, actually, if you're looking to extend coverage as a liquor buyer. So anybody open on chocolate liquor for, say, Q1 or beyond into Q2, I'd say definitely advantageous right now to get some positions on there. But, you know, those speculators could easily come back and be on cocoa's side very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there could be a high ankle sprain after this election that's coming up in the Ivory Coast that Katie bar the door. You gotta take Michael Thomas out of your lineup because of his high ankle sprain. And even though you paid a lot of money for him and you didn't know what you were doing and it was fantasy football and your first time and you paid a lot of money, he's never played. Oh, God, I'm just losing it now.
Well, that's going to about do it for that scouting report, Mike. And, you know, really that's just kind of the four we highlighted today, but we've got many more other players that we follow, you know, on that commodity cavalier team. We also go into wheat, the edible oils markets. We've got soybean complex covered for you. We got CBD now we're covering. Mm. And, you know, just really pick up the phone and call us if you really have any other questions. But some of the other things we'd like to mention, in addition to us being analysts and helping our wonderful fans and clients out there, you know, we also would love to start to get people to employ a systematic approach to covering their purchases by way of a systematic modeling webinar we have coming up. So,
oh my gosh,
Mike, maybe you can kind of pitch that and explain what we got coming up here.
Oh, absolutely. And I know Nicole talked a little bit about last week, but basically, if you're in procurement or you're following these commodity markets, with electronic trading and what's happening, you need to understand what systematic modeling is, how it can help you make better decisions on booking those futures, and how it can be that extra arrow in the quiver for when you're trying to make either short-term or longer-term decisions on those future markets. It's just an added tool. It's an awesome tool. And we partnered with a gentleman in Chicago on that. And boy, I'll tell you, just from educational purposes, you should attend. And it's on October 7th.
Absolutely.
At 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our website or reach out to us to register. And I even hear maybe we could apply this to my fantasy football.
I believe you can, Mike. This is going to give you a competitive advantage. Yes. You know, who isn't looking for a competitive advantage out there in the field?
So yeah. How great would it be?
There's no reason not to.
Yeah. How great would it be if I won the first year out? All my buddies would be just like, I would be a messiah, I think, if you will. And I would thank you, Eric, for introducing me to systematic modeling. So
there you go.
Everybody check out
check out that webinar. And Eric, let's get on to our weekend. And this was just, this was so much fun. I appreciate the NFL references. And notice I didn't make one soccer reference this whole entire time.
You did great.
I'm growing. I'm growing as an individual too. So we'll wrap this one up. But as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Live every single moment, everybody out there. And until next time, take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.